And that's awful selfish, but I'm glad it's raining. And I'm glad you're here tonight. Thank you for taking time to come out tonight. Let's do a little old study and see if the Lord will help us and see what we can get. Psalms 23 says, we'll go ahead. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If you will, just hold your finger right there, or your place right there, and let's go over to Psalms 37:1. We'll go back to Psalms 23. We're just going to read this. About two verses here, and we'll go right back. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And Psalms 37:1 says this, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Zach, if you will, pray for us, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Lord, we thank you, God, for all your goodness and mercy towards us and allowing us to be here safely again. Dear Lord, we pray that you would bless this service today, God, that you'd have your hand on it. God, I pray that you'd touch our pastor as he teaches us the word of God. And I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be prepared, God, that our ears would be open to receive the word of God. Lord, I pray that you'd do a work in each heart.
Help
God,
us,
that we wouldn't leave this God. Place, dear God, Jesus. The same as we came. Dear Heavenly Father, and I know if our hearts are prepared, if my heart's prepared, Lord, I wouldn't leave the same. God, I pray that you'd help us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down. For they shall soon be cut down. If you get concerned today, and it's easy to, but if you get concerned today about people that's not going to live right, it can cause you to waste a lot of precious time in your own life. And in a lot of cases, if you get your eyes on what everything's going on, what all's going on in this world, a lot of people will waste their entire life focused on what everybody else is doing, especially those that plan not to do right. But if we'll just learn to let God have these situations and have these people and all the stuff that's going on around, if we'll let God deal with that, and if we'll learn to let God just have that, if we can just learn to turn that over to God and not deal with it ourselves, mentally, physically, or spiritually, it'll help us in all those areas that I just mentioned. It'll help you mentally. It'll help you spiritually. It'll help you physically. But we all understand that we're in troublesome times. And the Bible plainly states that in the last days, perilous times will be upon us. But the rioting in our street is one of the things that I can look at, and that troubles me, that bothers me when I look at it. And if I'm not careful, I can give myself over to that thing and let myself get wrapped up in that thing. And before you know it, it's taken not just hours, but it can take up consume a whole day of my life. Just me fretting over that kind of stuff and stressing over that kind of stuff and worrying about what's going on in America. What's going on in our streets? The rioting in our streets, the killing in our public places. And I don't agree with going to the movies, but I think if you do go to the movies, that you ought to be able to at least go to the movies and not have to worry about some weirdo showing up with a machine gun and cleaning the place out. I just don't think that you ought to have to worry about going to college and worry about some nut driving his car up on the sidewalk or running across the campus with a high-powered rifle and picking people off as they walk to class. I just don't, man, I'm telling you, there's craziness going on all around us. One of the things that bothers me and constantly is always there and always in the back of my mind is this thing of human trafficking. Isn't that amazing? that we look at it sometimes like it's far off, but I want you to understand that there's people, Miss Holly, that has their Stephens kidnapped from them. They have their John Davids, and they have their Isaiahs, and they have their Nathans, and they have their Gracies stolen out of their life and sent across seas somewhere to be doped up and reprogrammed in the head and sold into sex slavery as human trafficking. I tell you, man, that stuff is just rampant, and prostitution is prevalent still in our day in every town that you pass through. And as you try to live clean and try to live holy and try to raise kids and try to do the right things with all the things that you see going on around the patch, if you're not careful, you'll begin to fret over those things. There's billions of gallons of booze being drank annually. Drugs are being legalized rapidly. Prostitution is still prevalent. Over $30 million of pornography is being sold every day. $30 million a day. While perverts are being slapped on the back of the hand and sent back out into our communities and our neighborhoods. If you was to download Predators on your phone and have the little app, you could punch it. And Eric, over there where me and you look for houses and all around, I'm telling you, there's red dots all over our little towns. And those are people that's been charged with sex crimes on children and turned loose back in our neighborhoods and our communities. And I tell you, if you're not careful, it'll cause you to begin to fret and stress and worry. You better pay that stuff some attention. You better know where they're at and what they're up to. That's not bad. That's pretty wise. I said all that to say this. When you get to thinking about all this stuff, it's enough to make you pull your hair out of your head. I mean, man, it'll about drive you crazy when you're trying to do right to see all the junk that's going on. Why don't I? Why in the world ain't we crazy? Well, we said a while ago, some of our wives think that we are. I mean, what is it that helps me? What is it that helps you? It's not that I serve a God that was, but I serve a God that is. You understand that? He wasn't just able. He wasn't just that. He still is there. He still is a very present help. I say to the... I say too that we have a God that wasn't only good. You understand? He wasn't just good. We read the Bible, and boy, I'm telling you, it's easy to see the goodness of God in the Bible. I wish you'd take your Bible sometime and look up the word good in it and all the times that God was good and all the places that God was. God's good. And if you was to take the alphabet, I promise you can go down through the alphabet and name all the areas where God's good. God, A, God is always good. B, God, his blessings are good. C, I mean, just on all the way down. You can go all the way and back and forth. You can just see the goodness of God all the way through. But I'm going to tell you something. Friend, God wasn't just good in the Bible. He wasn't just good to the children of Israel. He wasn't just good to our grandparents. He's good today. He's still good today. Amen. I'm telling you what the Bible said. David said the Lord is. And that's the word I want to focus on tonight. The word is. Not was, not has been, not going to be. But I'm telling you what he said. The Lord is. That's a very present thing. That's something that God is right now. That's not something that we have to look back to or even look forward to. That's something that you can enjoy today and take part in this day in which we live. The Lord is. He said, the Lord is. I just think that God as well. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, as well as God was able to deliver those Hebrew children out of that fiery furnace. And that's what they said. Our God is able. And just as able as he was to deliver them. Listen to me. This is hard to grasp. God still is able to deliver us out of the hand of the enemy. He still is able to take us through the fiery furnaces of this old world. God still is able to do everything exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. He still is able. So I want to thank God that he is. Everything that he ever has been, thank God he still is. You understand that? God ain't changed. The Bible said that He can't change. There's not even a shadow. There's not even a chance. God don't even have a thought of changing, friend. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God ever was good to you, He's good to you today. If God ever was like to you, He's like to you today. If God ever did answer a prayer, He'll answer your prayer today, friend. He's still God. Amen. Everything He was, He still is. Still is. I'm telling you that if you'll just realize that God is, and that's all I'm trying to convey tonight or get across, if you'll just realize what God is and that God is, it'll help you and I through the difficult days that we have to face. I'm telling you, man, you look at what's going on in the world and we rant and rave and we talk about it, how sodomites can just go get married and, man, how they want to put the perverts in our children's bathrooms. And, man, I tell you, if you ain't careful, that stuff will consume your mind. It'll consume your day. And the next thing you know, friend, you're defeated and discouraged and you're all down and you ain't enjoying and rejoicing in the Lord. I'm telling you, friend, if we'll just learn that God's going to take care of this mess, He is. Is going to take care of this. It'll help me and you. Amen. It'll help us. And that's my deal. It just, God's going to help us through this word is. I cannot emphasize it enough that the same Jesus that went down and sat with Martha and Mary, you understand that same Jesus? Boy, we like to read the story. We like to talk about it in the Bible, how Jesus went down to Martha and Mary's house. Man, we like to talk about Mary and all the things that she did. I want you to understand that same Jesus that sat in Lazarus' house is the same Jesus that is sitting in your living room this morning. Amen. I can't emphasize that enough. You understand the same Jesus. Thank God that was sitting in there with Mary and Martha is the same Jesus that's here tonight. He's here, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord Jesus is here. I wonder if you recognized Him yet. I wonder if you've recognized the presence of God's darling Son. Been in the house tonight. He's here. You say, preacher, how do you know He's here? Well, I know because He lives within my soul. He lives in my heart. I'm telling you, I brought Him with me tonight. Jesus is here, Miss Stephanie, because His Word is here. Man, His Word's prevalent in this place. I cannot emphasize it enough that Jesus wants to sit with you. And just like He sat with Mary, just like he sat with His disciples, just like He had fellowship with those men, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ wants to sit at your table. Jesus Christ wants to fellowship down at your house. Jesus Christ wants to make His place right here for you to enjoy His presence. It's Him, friend. He is. Amen. He wasn't just good to Mary. He's good to us. Amen. I understand hard times. You understand that? I know what hard times is a little bit about. I've been through two or three hard times in my life. I understand some sufferings. I've been through two or three sufferings in my life. But all I ever hear from some folks is just how bad everything is. Right? You hear me tell something about how bad a situation is. I hope to God you listen long enough to hear me say how God turned it around. If you ever hear me sit and whine and complain about hardships in my life, I hope you pay attention long enough to hear me tell you how God turned it around. Miss Stephanie, if we never did have money to buy food, I want everybody to understand. I'm not saying that to complain. I'm saying that to tell people that God loaded my cabinet. Is full. Amen. Sir, that's the things that this God that is will do for you. I'll never forget, friend, we didn't have a cracker in the house, and I had a chance to go off and preach in a meeting, and man, that was my heart's desire. That's what the Lord had commanded for me to do. I had to preach the gospel, and an opportunity came, and there we had no groceries, and I said, Lord, how am I going to leave my wife and my children? There ain't a cracker in the house. Friend, it wasn't about a day. I come home from work, and the whole front porch was loaded out with grocery bags. The Lord said, now I'll take care of it for you. He is, you understand. God is, amen. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm telling you, friend, the Lord is my shepherd. He'll put groceries on your porch, amen. Sure He will. He'll pay the light bill for you. He'll touch them children for you. He'll touch that home for you. I'm telling you, thank God, He'll buy you a car. He'll put clothes on your back. He is, thank God, our shepherd. If He's your shepherd, friend, He'll take care of you. Right. And help us. I understand these things. You might fool everybody else, ladies and gentlemen, but people ain't a fooling me with this old junk. This old down in the mouth. You might say that you know Jesus. Are you listening? You might say that you know Jesus. But if all you've got to say is something bad and something negative, if all you've ever got to do is tell how bad it is, friend, you might fool everybody in this world, but you ain't a fooling me. I'm not any different than anybody else. In every hardship I ever faced, you know what happened? My shepherd that is met every need that I've ever had. Right. Can I tell this? And maybe, no, I'm not going to tell it. I'm not going to tell it. You know what I'm trying to say, Miss Holly? I know some people that's a whole lot smarter in the Bible than me. Sure, that ain't real hard to do. Miss Debbie, they might know that book up one side and down the other. But I ain't talking about knowing the book. I'm talking about the author of that book. Amen. I'm talking about Jesus Christ Himself. I'm talking about out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak, if you understand that. Oh, preacher, listen, we're going through it. Oh, neighbor, listen, we're going through it. I want you to know, son, I'm so glad, thank God, that we're going through it. It's a testimony, you understand. God's going to let this old trouble, God's going to let this trial, God's going to let this storm be a testimony in my life. Thank God. It's just a different way. I'm just saying, if we're not careful, we'll start fretting over our problems. You understand that? We'll start fretting. But when the Lord is your shepherd, you don't have to worry about it. Can I get a witness? When the Lord is your shepherd, you don't have to worry about them problems. He'll take care of your problems. He'll take care of your troubles. He'll take care of your sicknesses. He'll take care of these things. Thank God. You know what I've always believed? I believed in healing. Eric, I had to figure it out because I had a couple friends that were these full of gospel guys. And I loved them. They were my friends. But man, they believed in some things that I didn't believe about. But you know what I did come to find out? I believe in healing for every human being that's going to live that's saved by the grace of God. Everybody that's born again, I believe God's going to heal them. May not be here, but I can promise you one thing. When you get that new body, friend, there won't be nothing wrong with it. Amen. There won't be nothing wrong. It's going to be healed either here or there. And I'm telling you, one's just as good as the other. If God sees it fit for me to suffer a little bit here, then so be it. Let's just look at Him and say, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Don't worry about it. Don't get fretful of what we're going through. Man, it's easy to get your eyes on this world. It's easy to get your eyes on your problem. But hey, friend, I don't know anybody went through any more than what old David did. Do you? Huh? You know anybody went through any more than he did? David wasn't singing the blues. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. I like it. Many times God allows things. Listen, many times God allows things in our lives to rid us of other things and ultimately draw us closer to Him. God will allow things in our life. God knows how to get us He knows how to get us where we ought to be. He knows how to bring us into the image of the Son. His plan ain't our plan. His ways ain't our ways. And I mean, man, if it was my way, I would have me some black walnut ice cream and chocolate candy. Amen. God every once in a while says, no, you don't need the ice cream. You don't, fat boy, you don't need the candy. What you need is a good storm. Amen. You need some turmoil, boy. You need to get back in there on your knees. You need to plug in. You need to get back to where you're looking unto me, your author and finisher of your faith. And then got your eyes off of me. Many times God allows these things. Brother Asquith told me that He said a man just the other day, he told me that a man gave him a good definition of what it means to be nigh versus what it means to be near. God said, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to thee. Or draw nigh to you. And he said there's a difference between being near somebody and nigh to somebody. Just like Gracie. Gracie's sitting over there. She's more nigh to Amber than Zach is. Zach's near her. Gracie is nigh to her. He's in her book. She's in her bosom. She's right up inside of her mama's arms. But if you get Gracie out of the way, Zach will be nigh to her. He gets rid of that. Look, what are you saying? Nothing between. Nothing between Zach and Amber. It made him so much more nigh. I'm telling you, friend, there's things that's between me and Jesus. There's things between you and Jesus. And Jesus said, if you'll draw nigh to me, in other words, you're going to have to get everything out from between you and I. Right. And this is what David's saying. Nothing's between my soul and the Savior. The Lord is my son. You talking about drawing nigh to God? He's a drawing nigh to God. Can I tell you a good way to draw nigh to God? Listen to me, church. You don't want to know a good way to draw nigh to God? Start bragging on God how good He is. Quit mully-grubbing and complaining to God and go in there and start telling Him how good He is and just recognize God for who He is. And man, you just start bragging on Him a little bit. You know what I believe? I believe God smiles on your recognition of what He is. Who He is. Man. Well, I tell you, it's been many times my wife crawled in that prayer closet. Man, I'm telling you, I felt like I was a million miles away. Man, I just got rid of everything else and just started bragging on Jesus and talking about what He is and who He is and everything the Bible says good about the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that my mind could remember. Boy, I tell you, next thing I know, it felt like I was in a good revival meeting with God. Amen. Sure, it'll help you, friend. Realize the Lord is. He is. What is He? What do you need Him to be? Huh? The Lord is. What is He? What do you need Him to be? You need Him to be a very present help? He'll be a present help. You need Him to comfort you? He'll comfort you. You need Him to put His arms around you? Boy, you need Him. Hey, listen, old Sister McKay and Zach told me, he said, Dad, I see it in the Bible. I've heard you say it. My old piano player down there in Mississippi, she was a missionary to the Mexicans for her whole life, her and her husband. And her old man died. And she looked at me one day and she said, Brother Vernon, she said, Brother David, she said, Jesus has been a better husband to me, and He told me He would, than I ever dreamed that I could have. She said, He told me He would be my husband. She said, He's been more to me than I ever dreamed, as far as the husband goes. Ain't that a blessing? What do you need Him to be? The Lord is. The Lord is. That old woman needed a husband, friend, you understand? And that's what Jesus was for her on a daily, regular, present basis. God, the Lord is. What we need is a real relationship, you understand that, with Jesus Christ. We need a real relationship. And we need to junk our cussing religion. I'm telling you, I despise that nasty stuff. Oh, God help us, folks. I'm just saying that when that woman with the issue of blood came to Jesus. Hey, listen, when she came to Jesus, you understand that she didn't just walk up there and go, well, you know, and press her way through. Hey, it wasn't like that. I've heard smart people talk about this woman, and I don't know if they're exactly right, but I do know enough, Eric, that she wasn't just on her feet pressing her way through the crowd. She had this issue, and her body was all twisted and mangled, and she couldn't even stand up straight. From what I understand, she was completely bent over. Her body was touching just like that, doubled over. She made her way through that crowd and touched the hem of His garment. You know what that woman said? Well, make Him my shepherd. You know what He became to her? He became her shepherd. I'm telling you, friend, Jesus was everything that that woman needed. You understand that? He is, amen. I don't know what it is that you're going through. I don't know what your issues might be. But I don't see nobody in here all twisted up and mangled. But I'm telling you, if He can do it for her, He can do it for you and I, amen. And so much the more. Sure. He didn't just do it for her and quit. And Jesus stood at Lazarus's tomb. When Jesus met the maniac. When Jesus come to the man at the pool. All that is some just really good and exciting stuff. I mean, man, we love to talk about the man at the pool. We love to talk about and picture in our mind, Lazarus stinking and wrapped up in them grave clothes, and Jesus standing out there in front of that tomb and beginning to weep and speaking out, saying, "Lazarus, come forth." What a beautiful scripture. Huh? What a great passage. Mighty encouraging. But the fact of the matter is that the same Jesus that walked up to that tomb and the same Jesus that went down to that pool, that same Jesus, Miss Stephanie, it's the same exact Jesus. He's not changed one bit. He's not dwindled one bit. He's not faded one bit. He's not lost an ounce of power. He's still the same Jesus. He still is Jesus. Amen. You'll walk up to your pool. And I'm telling you, He can take care of your issues. He can take care of your infirmities. He can take care of your soul. He can take care of your carnal needs. Sure He can. Many times we cry out, and that's fine. I understand crying out. But it might be better if He instead of we was what was being heard. Are you listening? Instead of everybody hearing me and you cry, it would be better if you and I heard Him cry. Right? It'd be better if you and I could hear that small, still voice. It'd be better if you and I could get somewhere and get along with God and just be still and know that He's God. It's good, friend, to cry out to the Lord. And I'm telling you what's real, real good is when God begins to cry out to you. Greatest things that's ever been said in my life was said in a secret place. Right? And I'm all for public prayer and I'm all for church. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, you'll never, never, never get from God in a public place what you will in a private place. God reveals so much more. He does so much more in a secret place than He does the public. What He does down here in the public place is He reveals what's been taking place in the secret. Man, good. I want you to understand that the same Jesus that walked with that couple down the road to Emmaus is the same Jesus that came up in here tonight. Huh? You want to know? You want to know? Listen, I'm not trying to be mean. Listen, please don't think I'm trying to be mean. But the reason, Zach, I know people don't recognize Jesus is because we can go to church where Jesus is. And it's the most nonchalant thing that I've ever seen in my life. We can do everything in the world but focus on Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you hear preachers talk about people digging in their ears and digging in their nose and chewing on and looking at their phones and just doing everything. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about the Jesus that stood up at Lazarus' tomb. He's up in here tonight. He'll show up down at your church. Hey, He'll show up down in your living room. He'll show up in your kitchen. That's the same Jesus. It's the same Jesus. There's a blessed hope in this life. And that hope, that blessed hope, is a purifying hope. It's a purifying hope. The blessed hope that we have, ladies and gentlemen, is not that Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back. You can count on that. And I told you, Sunday, I'm not waiting on no rapture. I'm already raptured. I'm already seated in the heavenlies. When that trumpet sounds, I'll wait on some other people to catch up. That's all. You say, why you say that? Because the Lord is my shepherd. You say, preacher, I don't believe it. Well, then you don't believe I've been crucified with Christ either. Been crucified with Him. Mistake me, I've been crucified with Him. I've been buried with Him. I've been risen with Him. I'm seated with Him in the heavenlies. There's a blessed hope, and that blessed hope is that when Jesus comes, our blessed hope, Stephen, is that we become more like Him. I hope to be more like Him tomorrow than I am today. Now that's a great expectation of a future event, to be like Jesus. Amen. Man. We'll be more like Him.
You say, what is that blessed hope? It's a purified hope. It purifies me. It makes me more holy and more holy. And he said, be holy. And that's what God's doing with that blessed hope. He's purifying us from day to day.
It's a blessed hope. It's a purified hope. And there's a present hope. The present hope is a basic hope. The basic hope is the resurrected Savior. What is that basic hope? It's that he is here. That's the hope. That's the present hope. That's the basic hope. The basic hope that we have is that Jesus Christ is my shepherd. He's here.
He's here.
It's a present hope. Preacher, I don't understand. That old man on the wall back there used to preach it and tear me up. Brother Pat used to say it all the time. And he's the person that I get this stuff from. When you hear me say some of this stuff, I picked it up from him, and it's Bible, so I like it. But he'd say we need to practice the presence of God. And I had people that would want to argue about that. I didn't even waste my time arguing. You want to argue about that? Argue about it. But I'll tell you what I believe. I believe we need to practice the presence of God. That old man would preach that stuff, and I mean, man, God would stir my soul when practicing the prayer. You need to realize, ladies and gentlemen, all I'm saying is God is here. God's here. I had to realize it today. I was ready to preach tonight. I was ready for the whole nine yards. And instead of me, I wanted to get frustrated. I had to put that wood up all by myself, and things wasn't working. It wasn't fitting, and I wanted to beat David. But I had to stop and practice the presence of God because God was in there with me. If you'll let him, he'll be down there at your house with you too. If you'll practice his presence. Just recognize that God's here. God is here. I told you the other day, a good idea. A lot of times when you get up in the morning and you get up before the alarm goes off for you, the Lord might just wake you up, and it may be a bathroom break. It may be anything in the middle of the night. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, don't take bathroom breaks real lightly. Check in with the presence of, check in with God. Because that's practicing the presence. Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, did you wake me up? Lord, is there something? And boy, I'm telling you, he'll stir in your soul if you'll pay attention, practice the presence of God. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. He's trying to say the Lord is here, ladies and gentlemen. The same Jesus that walked on that road to Emmaus is the same Jesus that's walking through this little block building tonight. It's the same Jesus that'll show up in your double-wide mobile home. It's the same Jesus that'll show up in your life. Sure. Same Jesus. I'll never forget. Brother Pat started preaching that stuff. And he started preaching it to me, and I was working at the Fairfield Motel. And Michael, I got a call one evening, man, that a toilet was messed up, and I was doing maintenance down there in Florida at a motel at that Fairfield Inn, and they called me and told me the toilet was messed up, and I had to go over there and check it out. Come to find out, they was two elderly people standing in that room. Well, I tried everything, man. I tried plunging that toilet, and it wouldn't flush. And I tried sneaking that toilet; it wouldn't plunge. I worked and worked, and man, it wouldn't flush. And I ended up having to pull that toilet up, Eric. I thought maybe something, because I couldn't see anything. I mean, the toilet was pretty clean; it wasn't full of junk in the bowl. So I pulled it, Miss Holly. Thought maybe something was, because a lot of times in motels and people are flushing towels and hand towels and such. I thought maybe they did that. I thought, well, I can run a snake down in that main drain. And because I've had to do it several times, I've had to take the lid off the manholes, Michael, and climb out there with them cockroaches, with them big 8-inch lines running in out there in them big manholes, and dig out them towels and stuff where people would flush them down the toilets. I was out there one day, Michael, and had a snake, one of them electric snakes, and I done run that thing out there. And I had to took off those clean-out caps all around this property, on this particular building. It was a different kind of a place. It was an old resort. They had, you know, 8 rooms here and like an apartment type thing. Then there was 8 rooms over here. It was all like apartments. But Marriott bought it out and changed it to a Fairfield Inn. And I took them lids off Mike and I stuck that snake through there. Man, I kept going. I couldn't hit nothing. That thing was spinning, you know, down in that pipe. I just was going to go down there to the other end, out that manhole. Before I got down to that manhole, I seen where that thing had done come up out of one of them pipes. And that thing was out there in the parking lot. It was a slap of them cars.
Oh, help me, Jesus. Man, I couldn't run fast enough back over to that place and get that thing turned off. And I mean, it had beat two of them cars about half to pieces, man. I had to go tell them. Oh, what a mess. What a mess.
Miss Holly, I'll never forget. I got that toilet up. And there was so much junk down there in the bottom of that toilet. It wasn't in the pipe and it wasn't in the bowl. It was down in the pee trap, the trap part of that tank, that bowl, that toilet. It was just, it was awful. And I ain't never liked that. I ain't never changed a doo-doo diaper in my life but one. And I sprayed him off with a water hose and
freshened him up with Lysol
and wrapped a towel around him and let him get his rash and wait on his mama. I tell you what I want to do, Mike. I want to take that old toilet and set it back, and I couldn't get it to go back to save my life. I couldn't get that thing to sit back in there. It was such a spot, and you just had to hold your mouth just right to get that thing in there, and it wouldn't go back. And I was sitting there wrestling with that stupid toilet, and I'd have been playing in a 180-year-old man's feces. And, man, I'm telling you, I was fit to be tied, and that toilet wouldn't go back. I'm telling you, I dropped that stinking toilet. I reared back, and I grabbed my channel lock pliers, and I was fixed. Say a couple words and anoint the wall. And there was a small still voice that said, "Hey, I'm here. Woo! Why don't you practice the presence of God right now, big boy? You hear me?" Jesus said, "Hey, I'm here. I'm here. Before you do that, why don't you practice my presence now?" Son, you talking about getting under conviction. I walked around the corner. I stepped outside that room and went down that little catwalk. And I said, "God, I'm sorry. I apologize to God for the words that was about to fly out of my mouth and the temper tantrum that I was throwing. I apologized to God and tried to get that thing right." I said, "Lord, if you will, listen, this is what I said. This is what I'm talking about, practicing the presence of God. Not that I've arrived. I've failed 10 billion times. This is the one time that I didn't fail." I said, "Lord, I'll go back in here and work on this toilet. If you want it to be easy, let it be easy. Lord, if you want it to be hard, let it be hard. But you're here with me, and whatever happens, happens." Son, I'm telling you, it changed the whole thing. You understand? It changed everything, Miss Debbie. Now listen, 10 million times it wouldn't have worked out like this, but this time, Zach, I walked in there, and I grabbed that toilet, picked it up, it slipped right in its place, fell right down on them toilet bolts. And I'm telling you, God just let me off the hook. You say, "What is that, man? I know that sounds a little oozy or superstitious or whatever. You call it what you want, but I'm talking about practicing the presence of God. Before you get mad, throw a temper tantrum and realize God's here. Huh? God's here. It'll help you in your home. It'll help you in your marriage. Hey, husband, before you say that thing to that woman, realize God's here. Why are you always laughing?" Okay. Why? Before you do what you've got to do to him, remember. Always sitting over there giggling. I'd be glad when y'all need to have about 3 or 4 more youngins. Y'all quit laughing so much. Church, I'm just telling you. We go through things many times in this life, but the same Jesus that was a very present help is still a very present help in the time of your trouble. That's right. If you'll let him be, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be everything that you need him to be. David said he is. And I like that he is. If we learn the fact that Jesus is, it'll help us, Miss Stephanie. I mean, when we have to watch all these protesters, which are really rioters, and we have to watch all this sin running rampant in our street, ladies and gentlemen, you just remember God is still in control. Still is. The Revelation says this. It describes to us, ladies and gentlemen, what Jesus looks like. I want you to understand that Jesus that's described in the book of Revelation is the same Jesus that's in this church. When John was out there on the Isle of Patmos and he had them visions and he got to see Jesus, you know what he said about his hair? Can anybody tell me what his hair was like? What did the Revelation say Jesus' hair looked like? It was white, wasn't it? Just white. You know what that white hair represented? And I'm talking about the same Jesus is here. It represents this, Zach, that Jesus is in God and God is in Him. It represents the Ancient of Days. And that same God that was back there in Genesis 1:1 is the same one that's still here, active and present today in our lives. The Ancient of Days. That's right. White hair represents the Ancient of Days. Then he said his eyes were as a flame of fire. Is that what he said? What is them eyes? What is that flame of fire? It speaks of purity. Remember what I said a while ago about that hope? It's a purified hope. His eyes, what does that fire do? What does fire do? It burns, it purifies, it cleans. You throw that gold in the fire and it burns out all the dross, the silver. Throw it in the fire and it burns out all the dross and it comes out pure silver. That's what Jesus does. You know what he said with them eyes? You know what he said with them eyes of fire? He said, judgment must begin at the house of God. I'm telling you, that's the Jesus that's here, ladies and gentlemen. He's got those eyes of fire. And every once in a while, he'll put them on you and he'll look down into your soul. And I mean, son, he'll start purifying you and burning some. Why do you think so many people get mad and blow up and leave the church? Because that Jesus is the one that passed by. I tell you, Mr. Stanton, he starts judging people. He starts burning in people's lives and getting rid of some of that old junk. And he uses a preacher to preach his word. And people get all out of sorts. And I'm telling you, the Bible said that judgment must begin at the house of God. You know what he's going to do? He's going to get in there at the house of God and start cleaning things up. And ladies and gentlemen, from the house of God, it'll reach out. His eyes are all searching. God deals sometimes very harshly here in this place. In this place, he deals harshly sometimes. But I'll be honest with you, that ought to make us rejoice. When we have to get a harsh word from the Lord, I'm telling you, we ought to leave this place thanking God. We ought to leave this place rejoicing. We ought to leave this place saying, thank God that the eyes of the Lord was upon us today. Huh? I mean, when God tears you up one side and down the other, and I mean, man, he hangs you out to dry instead of getting all bent out of shape and pooch mouthed, we ought to start rejoicing in the Lord and say, thank God the eyes of the Lord was on me today. It's that present Jesus. Jesus said it was going to be that way. I say sometimes that's what we need. But I came to tell you that if the Lord is your shepherd, he can meet every need, whatever it might be in your life. Are you listening? That's just so. What you need tonight? What is it that you need from God? Do you believe he can supply your need? Believe it? Sure. What did David say? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Is that what he said? He said, because he is my shepherd, my needs is taken care of. Did you get that? He is my shepherd, therefore. Let me tell you something, Miss Stephanie. A lot of times the reason our needs ain't being met is because he is not the shepherd. I might as well just say amen. I'm just telling you, because David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm telling you why people can't get needs met. It's because they've got the wrong shepherd. Oh, don't let that surprise you. He said there'd be many Christ. Sure. World's full of them. Religion's full of them. You don't have to tell anybody else. Michael. Sometimes it ain't fun to have needs. I'm telling you, you don't have to run around and tell everybody, boy, I need this, I need that. Listen, won't you do this? Won't you just whisper it to Jesus? Huh? Won't you just whisper it to Him? I don't like thinking prayers. I just don't, because I'm so dumb I can't stay focused. You understand? I can't have them little silent prayers where I'm thinking prayers, because I'm getting to thinking prayers. Next thing you know, I get to thinking about them stupid Cowboys beating up on my Redskins. See, man, my guy. Oh, Lord. But I tell you what, if we'll whisper, if we'll just tell God what our need is. David said, if He is your shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's moms, listen to me. There's moms that sit in church week in and week out. There's dads that sit in church week in and week out. Listen, I've seen mamas, Miss Holly, bathe their feet in death. You can say it any way you want to. They went to the jaws of death. And I tell you, they were willing to give. Ladies, just willing to give your life so that you can give life. And I've said, watch mamas sacrifice theirself and put theirself out, and I mean, man, make theirself last and make their kids first and do everything in the world to provide and make things happen for them. I've seen that. And I've seen them kids buck up and rebel and go plumb crazy wild. And yet there's mamas and daddies sitting in church every week with broken hearts. I'm going to tell you something. If the Lord is your shepherd, He can mend that. He can take care of that. Sure. He can take care of them youngins. He can take care of that heart. Whatever that need might be, Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, my shepherd, can take care of it. Right. He can take care of that. My question is, will you take it to Jesus? Huh? Will you take it to Jesus? If you do, you won't be out around town talking about it. Not unless you're talking about what Jesus has done. That's right. That's what that good shepherd will do. Hey, will you take it to Jesus? I think many times what God is after, ladies and gentlemen, is you and I. Right? Sometimes people have to go through an awful lot. Michael, I'm careful about what I say. I don't want to say the wrong things. I don't want to say stuff to be grievous to the Spirit of God. But I've seen people that never get to God until they get completely broke. Never. I've seen people where they can depend on their money. They didn't have to stress about those kind of things. But I'm telling you, I've seen it where if that person would end up on their back flat broke, then maybe, just maybe, they'd get to God. And at the same time, they're standing, oh, we're losing everything. Yeah. Counting all things but dung that I might win Christ. Hallelujah. Son, it'll be worth it if we just get a hold of Him and He becomes our shepherd. Say, how you say that, preacher? Because listen, I've lost about everything I've ever had to gain Christ. That's right. Miss Stephanie, we walked away from everything promising in this world to step into a world of faith. Huh? Where it's going to come by faith. They wasn't no bank accounts. They wasn't no extra money. They wasn't none. It was always short. You understand that? I mean, after we got paid, when we got paid, Friday night, we was broke again. Not because we went and painted the town, because the bills was more than the check was. Thank God. I learned how to scrooge up real close to Jesus in them times. I sure did. In my hard times in my life, I learned how to scrooge up real close to Him. I learned how to get real cozy and real intimate. Are you listening? I'm going to say that real good. I learned how to get real intimate with Jesus. I learned how to make love to Him. That's good. I learned how to make love with the Son of God. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about worshiping, friend. I'm talking about getting up in there, son, and letting Jesus Christ be your shepherd and drawing close to Him and nothing between you and the Savior, friend. I'm talking about just having a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Right. He wants to spend time with you. And I'm convinced that if we'd understand how present He really is, then our frets would come to a cease. William Booth did this, church. You all know that he started the Salvation Army. But old William Booth was over there in London, and he got a burden for all them ladies in the red light district.
Sure.
And he couldn't reach them instead, and he couldn't get a hold of them gals over there, them prostitutes. And this is what old William Booth done. He went to the house and seen his wife, and he said, "Baby, I need you to do me a favor." William Booth told his wife, he said, "I need you to dress up like a prostitute, and I need you to go out on the street with me. And if you can get a couple of them out there with you, maybe, just maybe, I can talk to them about Jesus." Old Miss Booth, man, I'm telling you, that was something to ask a lady of her caliber in those days. The prostitutes didn't run around with fishnet hose and show their hinder parts and stuff. They covered themselves. Most prostitutes back then dressed better than church people today. Really, they did. Less revealing. If you ever watch a good Western, I mean a good cowboy, a good John Wayne movie, them prostitutes in the saloon dressed better than most church people do. I mean, you know, they was in the saloon, but nonetheless, just old timing. But Miss Booth did, contrary to a couple people's advice, she did exactly as her husband wished, and she went out there on the streets. Listen to me, church. She went out there on the streets. William Booth had all them prostitutes out there. And he was talking to them about the Lord. And a church member knew William Booth, seen him. Didn't know what he was doing, but seen him out there with them prostitutes. And he went over to him and said, "Mr. Booth," he said, wasn't a bad thing. He said, "I'm going to tell your wife what you're doing." He said, "You're out here with these ladies." He said, "I'm telling your wife." About that time, he said, William Booth's wife removed the veil from her face and looked at that servant and said, "Sir, I'm here." I thought, well, if that ain't Jesus, I'll be a monkey's uncle. Do you hear me? I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is so near us. He is so here. He is so present. We need to realize that Jesus Christ is a very present help in every area of our life. You say, "Preacher, what do you say about..." Listen, Jesus Christ became a prostitute, ladies and gentlemen, so that the prostitutes can live holy. Hallelujah. Yeah, thank God Jesus became every one of those sinners that the sinner could be saved. He gave his life that sinners could have life. He's very present. He's always there. You don't have to go through this life as a sinner. Die as a sinner, because Jesus died with that sin that you could go free. Let me say this. I say to you that I may not can fix all of my problems, and you may not can fix all your problems, but my shepherd can fix every problem that we have. Understand? I don't care what is going on in your life. I don't care what it is. I don't care what you're faced with. I don't care what adversity. I don't care what pains you. I do not care what it is. We have a shepherd that can take... Listen, ladies and gentlemen, he may not fix it, but he'll fix your outlook. He'll fix your outlook. He'll make you look at it and say, "Boy, I want to thank God for this in my life." I'm telling you, it just changes everything. You know why? You know why, Zach, we get so down and bent out? You know why we get to fretting about it? Because we forget that he's our shepherd. We get our eyes off of him and get our eyes on our problems. Well, I'm not just saying stuff to you, church, that I hadn't lived. I've had to live this stuff. I've laid in the floor and begged God for things for my children. Sure I have. I've laid off for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, and I ain't pumping myself up. I'm just telling you that God is very present. I'm telling you that I've laid out there and wept and begged God and pled with God, and God has met every need I've ever had. Every need. That's right. I've watched my shepherd take care of everything in my life. Everything. Michael, I've prayed about things before and probably wasn't right, but I was praying out of an honest heart. I was praying as honest as I knew how. And I'll never forget this old boy I was praying for. I had a real burden, had a real burden. I mean, son, I was just loaded down with this old boy. I loved him. And he was giving himself to alcohol. The boy was just killing me to watch him do it. I'll never forget the prayer that I prayed. I'll never forget how much I prayed. I'll never forget the words that I used. Michael, I'll never forget it. And I can remember one time, and I'm not trying to be funny, I'm just telling you, church, I'm about half rude and mean and ignorant all at the same time. But I'll never forget, I asked God, God, would you let that alcohol taste like horse piss? Would you do that? And I thought, well, if people could hear me pray, they would just write me off. But Zach, I prayed that out of an honest heart, and that's just how I felt. That's just what God, just turn him against it. It wasn't long, Miss Holly, that old boy called me up. He said, I want you to know something. I hadn't told one soul. I was ashamed to tell people what I was saying. Free people might make fun of me, because everybody did. He called me up. He said, man, I'm going to tell you something. He didn't tell me he got saved. He said, man, he said, I can't even enjoy drinking anymore. I said, what's going on, man? He said, Dave, he said, that alcohol tastes like horse piss to me. I'm lying, I hope God strikes me dead. But lightning strikes right over Stephen's head. Say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about a present God. God heard that. You understand? God heard that honest heart. He was a Listen, ladies and gentlemen, that old boy went on to get saved by the grace of God, but it started right there with that booze. And son, he answered that prayer just exactly, Miss Hawk, just exactly like I prayed it. Just exactly. Verbatim, word for word. I mean, while everybody else would have left me to scorn, that person told me exactly what God made it taste like. And it's exactly what I asked God to turn it into. Ain't that a blessing? You say, what is that? That's a present God. You understand? That's the Lord is my shepherd. Here's what God is trying to get from you and I. He wants us to commit ourselves to Him. He wants us to commit ourselves to Him. Commit our uprisings and our downsittings. Just commit it to the Lord. That's why He said, cast all your cares on Him. Now, that's what that fish did with my rod and reel the other day, buddy. I cast that thing out there and it ain't coming back. I can promise you that. It's gone. You understand? It's gone. And that's what we need to do with our frets and our troubles and our cares and this old life. We need to cast it on the Lord. When we'll do that, ladies and gentlemen, listen to what He said. I'm done. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What's your need? What do you need? Listen to what your shepherd will do. He'll make you lie down in green pastures. Ain't that a blessing? He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll feel no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now let me ask you a question. That's a pretty good psalm. I don't know too many people. That's probably one of the favorite passages to thousands and thousands of people on planet Earth. Psalm 23. John chapter 14 is one of those that, man, people all over the world are just crazy over that passage, especially old people. Let me ask you a question. You've seen all those good things. Do you think when David got down there at the end of verse 6, do you think all his troubles in life were over? Do you think that David was going to go through any more junk? Do you not remember he said the sword shall never leave his house? You understand that David went through turmoil until the day he died? It didn't sound a whole lot like he was going through turmoil, did it? It sounded like he was going through a whole lot of hardship. It sounded like he had a whole lot of problems in his life. It didn't sound like he was going to face too many enemies right here. Church, he faced enemies till he died. But you know what he got a hold of? That present help. He didn't spend time talking about all of his problems. He didn't spend time talking about all the troubles in his life. But I tell you what he did. He spent time bragging on how good it is to have Him as a shepherd. Amen. I tell you what, church, if you and I get a hold of this shepherd, it'll change the way we talk. It'll change the way we look. It'll change the way we live. Amen. Amen. It'll help us. It'll help us. I said today I was hanging up some wood by myself, and I'm getting fat and old and weak-er, and things wasn't fitting just right, and I wanted to throw a fit. But even still today, Miss Holly, it's been years since we've been down there in Lawley, a long time. A long time since I heard that good old man of God stomp around and preach, and you couldn't understand hardly a thing he said until you sit and listen to him for a month. It's like that presence of God is still real. Huh? Is he down there at your house? Does he ride in the car with you? I can tell you this much, he sure wants to if you'll let him. He'll sit right in that, I'm telling you, he'll sit right in that car with you. He'll sit in that living room with you. He'll sit at that dining room table with you. He'll go to the job with you. He'll go, I'm telling you, he's there, friend. He's a present help. Father, we thank you for this day. Help us, oh God, to recognize the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, when we become sheep, God, of the good shepherd, we can say as the psalmist said, I shall not want. Thank you, dear God, for taking care of the needs in my life. Every need I've ever had, Lord, you've blessed me and took care of me. God, you've been nothing but good to me. Lord, I want to praise your name for your goodness. And thank you, Lord, for taking care of your own. We love you and pray, God, that you'd bless the people of this congregation. Pray, God, that you'd bless each and every individual, each home. I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord, to draw nigh to you. And God, help us to learn how to worship and learn how, dear God, to enjoy the presence of God. Learn how to recognize the presence of God. Lord, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.